Welcome to System Mastery, the podcast where we beat a dead horse 1d6 damage at a time. This week, we take a look at a game that has a very specific genre in mind. One where weird-haired heroes get into giant robots to duke it out with the bad guys. Can this system Macross into other genres? Or is it best left just having to be about Robotech? We'll answer these Gundam questions and more when we dive into Mechton Zeta on today's System Mastery. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to join once again in System Mastery. We're diving into these old role-playing games, and normally I would be joined by Jeff, but he is on baby leave at the moment.
And there's nothing normally about Jeff. Jeff is not a normal person.
But as you can tell, I've got a guest on, and it's Claire, fan favorite Claire.
Woo! Find me on my Insta, girls. Yeah! It's my fan. Is that how you talk to your fan base on the internet now?
I don't know. I mostly think how I talk to my fan base is, what up? It's your boy Batman.
Actually, mostly how you talk to your fan base is, God, you people are idiots. Shut up.
That's not true. That's how our fan base talks to us.
Oh, okay. That's fine.
So this is going to be our last week with a guest. So congratulations. You get to be the last one before Jeff comes back.
I'm just going to set this place on fucking fire. He's going to come back to just a flaming dumpster.
Good. Then he will feel right at home.
Too late.
So this week we had a role-playing game that honestly probably not the best fit for the two of us to be talking about.
But that's okay, because now, again, I'm here to make people on the internet angry, and you will join me in that, because we're going to say a lot of things about anime that will make anime people very mad.
Yeah. So this is Mechton Zeta, which is a role-playing game that is very anime, but is very specific anime. It very much wants to be a Macross, Robotech, Gundam. It is a mech based game.
And for those of you who don't know what the fuck a Macross or Gundam is, giant robots.
What's a Gundam?
Shut the fuck up.
What's a battle? Yeah, so in this one, not only is it very mech focused, which we've done some anime stuff in the past. You were there for the Maid episode.
Yeah,
as well.
That's a real different feel of anime, although I kind of, we'll talk about this at the end of the game, but maybe what we need is a crossover.
It's 100% what we need. It may not be what we deserve, but it's what we need.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go ahead and say this right now, I've never watched any episode at all of Robotech, Macross, Gundam, any of the classic big giant robo thing. I think the only thing I've seen that is anime giant robos is Evangelion.
I haven't even seen that. So my frame of reference is Pacific Rim.
Good. I mean, that's close enough. You
and Rifts.
Yeah. I mean, have you seen Voltron? Like, at least that's semi in there.
I mean, Transformers?
Kind of. I mean, not really for the theme. But in that there are big robos, then yes.
That turn into things, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the game has the ability to do several things with the mechs. So the baseline is your standard, I am a giant man robo, and I have arms and legs, and I will stomp around and shoot guns.
Right, I'm a dude in my cockpit of my giant Borat. I'm going to stomp around, and there'll be lasers and missiles coming out of my ears, and
yeah, that's
all over the place.
That's your standard one. And then the game also allows for either being like, oh, I'm in a big robo cat, or I made a jet or a tank or anything like that. But then it also has some transforming stuff. So if you want to do, I at least know the term is a Veritech, is the mech that goes from,
I am a dude to I am a jet, and then also has an in-between mode where you just sort of have the nose of a jet sticking out of your chest like some kind of moron.
That's the latest fashion trend, I assume.
Yeah, obviously. That's on the runway at the Met Gala. You can find many a person with a nose cone of a jet coming out of their chest.
The Met Gala.
Hey! Beep, 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 beep.
Yeah, no, that's canon now. That'll be incorporated in my character. We'll talk about that.
Oh my God. Bonus content, y'all. System Mastery on Patreon. Go get it. Bonus content's going to be lit.
Give us a dollar.
I have no real base. Like, I have a bit of the anime zeitgeist to know that shit exists, but nothing in particular. So there may be references in here that I will talk about and not understand that are references.
Yeah, we'll go, why did they do this thing? And then someone in the audience will start writing a really angry comment.
They're
to
like,
us.
Well, actually, if you look in season 3 of Robotech, you'll see that. And that's right. Fuck you, anime fans. The only anime I like is big titty anime.
But still, give us a dollar.
Still, though. I made a big titty anime. Come look at my big titty anime.
And by that, I mean it's John's big titties that
are
in the
anime.
It's my
big titties. They're in an anime now.
They're very shaky.
Yeah.
They're rather hairy. Some people are into that.
It's fine. You can get it if you go to the bonus content. I will show you my tits.
Don't lie to people. Actually, you know what? I'm going to use my cell phone and take a picture of your tits. We can't lie to them.
How
dare
you?
Now post a picture of your tits on the Patreon.
That's not happening. Anyone who's listening, that's not happening. Or is it?
Give us $100 per episode and we'll see what happens.
Ray Liotta is the only one who gets to see my titties. Ray Liotta, if you're out there, and I know you haven't subscribed to it yet, but get on that Ray Liotta level and you'll see my titties.
He hasn't really decided yet. You know, he's concerned about the service charges through Patreon. He just doesn't know if he wants to be a part of that.
Also, Patreon's really cracking down on the porn.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I want my sweet-ass titties out there.
Well, male nipples are always allowed. They're not obscene, as much as some of us may enjoy male nipples.
I'm pretty sure my nipples are obscene.
So, Mechton Zeta.
it's very interesting from a outsider perspective on
yes.
this, I would say.
And we should probably give some context. So Jeff and John have the policy of doing no research. I have no such policy, so I did do the extensive research of reading the Wikipedia article on this game.
Oh my God, how dare you break our rules.
I know.
Our sacred rules.
This is kind of a legit game. This is what, like the second or third edition. It's from a gaming house that's done other games. So, I mean, it's like copy edited.
Yeah.
It's got art that doesn't completely blow.
No, it has very like early 90s anime art type stuff where I absolutely hate that style. there's like the old style anime and then the new style anime, and I'm sort of fine with that, but that like mid-level Robotech type style of animation was just so bland and everyone looked very samey. I wasn't a fan.
Yeah, in terms of the art quality, I kept thinking of, because a lot of it is line art, so I was thinking like classic Rifts art, but like one notch below that in terms of the quality.
Yeah, and I understand that that is the sort of thing they were going for, so
yes.
It's not like it's a knock against the art. It's just I don't like that style to begin with, so eh.
It won't distract you, at least. You know, it's not like crotches in your face like some Japanese-flavored games we've seen.
Hey now, crotches in your face is my favorite role-playing game. Be sure to look out on the micro-RPG systems this year for my new
RPG.com.
My new micro-RPG, crotches in your face.
Rule number one. Put your crotch in my face. The end. Less than 200 words. Got it.
Did it. Got him. So when you are making a character in this, it has one of my favorite things to see in any RPG, which is pages and pages of random tables.
Yes, and we should say that I've seen random tables that I don't enjoy, and if it's like that Dirt Farmer Simulator random tables where it goes, you know, You grew up on a farm. You grew 1 through 2 is turnips, 3 through 4 is beets. Like, I don't need that gritty European random tables, but this is anime random tables, so it's wacky shit.
I like having that in there. It gives you, it's basically a hook generator for what goes on. Because most of the stuff that you're going to be rolling in here is fucking nonsense happened to your character in the back. And either it'll be like, oh, my family is dead or missing, or my, you know, siblings hate me, or, you know, my family used to be noble and now they're like disgraced, or they were murdered and I'm trying to find their killer.
I have a rival whose lover I accidentally killed in a tragic combine accident.
Oh, and you have to have some romance. Like, no matter what, you've got a romance table you have to go on. So you can have things like, either I'm in a good, steady relationship, or like, I'm currently on the prowl and I'm looking to go get some dates, or
single and ready to mingle.
Or, you know, you can have a tragic love affair where your lover died in a suspicious accident. You know, stuff like that. It's good. It gives you some interesting hooks, lets you have stuff that your character can talk about, but it's also not so much of what your character is that if you had a character in mind, that would preclude you from playing them.
Right. So regardless of what your character concept is, you know, maybe you want to be the hotshot mech pilot. Maybe you want to be like the scrappy engineer. Okay, well, according to the random table, you have 5 siblings. 4 of them hate you and 1 of them hero worships you. Okay, that works with any concept.
Yeah. I mean, if you're like, oh, yeah, back in the day, I went out with someone and now they hate me and they're out to get me. It's like, I don't care what your concept was as a character. You can have some random anime person that's like, ooh, you, I loved you and now I hate you.
This is the soap opera overlay, if you will. It's getting your interpersonal stuff and some of your personality and value stuff. And I like that because there's so much hard, crunchy nonsense in this game that people who are attracted to this game are probably more drawn to that and might be the sort of people who would struggle to come up with the soap opera layer. But, like, you guys watch wrestling, okay? Don't act like you aren't interested in this kind of drama.
That's right. Everyone who listens to System Mastery, super into wrestling.
Yes. I feel like people either watch Days of Our Lives or they watch WWE. Sometimes, like, if you were flipping through the channel, you would stop at one or the other.
I mean, in my mind, por qué no los dos?
Exactly. Where's the merge up?
I'm gonna be real honest with you. Back when I was a kid, my mom would watch Days of Our Lives. Like, that was one of the ones she would watch. You know, not the General Hospital, not any of the other ones. Just Days of Our Lives. I would, during summers when I wasn't in school and she would be at home during the day, I would watch that because it came on around lunchtime. So I'd have, you know, I'd come out, have like a sandwich, and she would be watching that. And I would sit down and watch it. And that shit is buck wild.
Yeah.
Fucking love Days of Our Lives.
And in a way, it goes a lot. Soap operas go along really well with your youthful interest in comic books because, you know, there's evil twins, there's amnesia, there's retconning. It's all the same shit.
And it's, I mean, the fact that you have essentially these split episodes where, like, one day the episodes will be about like this group of characters, and then the next day's episode will be about this different group of characters, so you'll have this sort of layered back and forth. And even though it takes a while for the plot to really do anything,
is there a plot?
Yes. I mean, each character has their own fucking narrative going on, and it's amazing because they're like, any given character, you'd be like, what are they doing? Okay, so they're angry at this, and this is their goal, and this is what they're striving to do. This is the person in their way. This is that. And you're like, okay, in any other show, they would be like either the protagonist or the antagonist, and it would be about them. But a soap opera is like 20 protagonists and antagonists just butting heads on everything, and it's glorious.
It's the biggest, most ridiculous RPG party ever.
Oh, yeah.
It's way too many people. The ST has no control.
It's a ridiculous, like, con LARP that has gotten out of control, is what the soap operas are.
So I like the random gen tables for this stuff, because someone who just thinks, I want to build Borat, might struggle to come up with these kind of backgrounds that are important to the genre. You know, even the hotshot, you know, mech pilot or scrappy engineer is going to have some personal drama going on, and these tables give you at least some seeds to start with.
Yeah, I mean, even if you went in with like, oh, I know the character I want and sort of their background, like, oh, I'm a kid and I grew up on the streets and then I got into a mech academy because I'm just super talented in it, and you have this whole like anime background, just little things like your siblings or
your friends
or your lovers or things like that give you these little hooks that you might not have thought of when you were making your character. Because a lot of people tend to focus on what was my character doing.
Yes.
And these tables are a lot of like, what is around your character?
Yeah, this table wants you to roll, first of all, how many siblings you have. Second of all, the gender of each of your siblings. Third of all, how each of them feels about you. So we'll talk about it in the bonus content, but I got 7 for numbers of siblings, and I'm like, nah, man. I'm not doing this seven times.
You can get between a 0 and a 7 siblings, so congratulations on rolling max siblings. They was banging. Yeah, so you do that, and then, of course, you have stats like anything, but in this game, you make your character, so you'll have your, like, I am an anime, hello, well, good to meet you, I am an anime.
Big eyes, small mouth, blue hair, head like a bean.
Big eyes, small mouth, can't lose. The making a regular dude or dudette table is like, okay, very normal. If you've played pretty much any other game, then you would understand, like, A, it's a point by system. Your stats go from 2 to 10, put some points in your stats.
Attractiveness, reflex.
You got your attractiveness, your body type, your cool, empathy, intelligence, which has a substat of education, which I'm going to get into and rant a bit. luck, movement allowance, reflexes, and technical ability. The game assumes a 6 is average. That the average stat you should have in any given thing is a 6 because you're going between 2 and 10. The problem with this comes in the stat generation methods it gives you. The first one is just random characters, and it's roll a d10 for every stat, reroll ones.
Which, you know, not great.
I mean, I don't like it because it is just straight down the line, roll a random number, and the problem with down the line random generated stats is that dictates what you are playing. Like, if I had in my mind, oh, I'm going to be like a super hot femme fatale, and then you're like, oh, I rolled an attractiveness of 3 and a cool of 2 and an empathy of 5. You're like, oh, I'm garbage at that. I can't do that anymore.
Well, if you have an attractiveness of 3, you just need to pump up your points into personal grooming and then use makeup to increase your sexual market value. Oh, wait, no, shit. I'm sounding like an incel. Sorry, I'll stop.
Oh, no. So that's one of them. You can do it that way, and that should give you an average roll,
yeah,
basically.
Your average point total, like, you'll probably average around 6.
Yeah, you should. I mean, the given for, especially because you're rerolling ones, you should average around a 6.
But then, that's not the method that they recommend.
No.
What they recommend is that you roll 10d10. And that's your total points, and then you can allocate them as you please. But this does not lead to an average of, say, 60.
Unfortunately, they say roll 10d10, but they don't say reroll ones.
Right.
So the average on the 10d10 ends up being worse than random characters.
Yeah, so you have control, but you give up. But then, I mean, it's 10d10, so it's so swingy anyway.
Oh, yeah. Well, they say if you roll below 40, then just re-roll everything.
But great, I got a 41. I suck at life, but I'm supposed to be in hero?
Yeah, with 10 stats that you can put stuff in, if you're like, oh, great, I rolled... Even if you rolled fairly average, you're like, I rolled 50. I have below average in every stat. Great.
Well, but, I mean, you can be the savant character. You know, if you wanted to be the hotshot mech pilot, you can... pour points into reflex and cool and dump attractiveness and, I don't know, body. Because as long as you're in the suit, you're fine.
Once you're in the mech, it don't matter. You can be spindly as fuck. You can do whatever. But the one that they call the cinematic characters is they're like, oh, this is best if you're going to use it for like NPCs or
villains.
Pre-generated PCs, stuff like that, is the one that actually makes sense. Because it's like, oh, if you're a basic NPC, like a standard NPC, low-level grunt, is 55 points.
Right, which is
basically what you're rolling on a
10d10. Right.
Like, they say in here that what you are going to average roll for your concept character is a garbage grunt.
Yeah, I feel like probably PCs on average should be better than scenery chump extras.
Yeah, I mean, it goes above that. Average Joe is 60 points.
Right.
And then secondary character, someone who has just finished going through the life path, which is that random table of background stuff, should have 65. So I figure any normal character that you make should probably just be starting at 65.
Right, but the one that they recommend is the... 10d10 method and throw it out if it's under 40.
Yeah, their math on this is garbage, and I'm going to go ahead and talk about that as well.
weren't we just talking about that?
Again, I said I was going to rant about education as a stat.
Okay, come on.
So, education is the only substat in this. So normally you might have like, oh, this is my body given for you, do this in remembrance of me.
I'm not going to dignify that.
I'm sorry. It's that Christian upbringing. I can't say this is my body.
Man.
Or if someone says, like, may the force be with you, I cannot do anything but think and also with you. but it's the only substat, but you still have to spend character creation points on it.
Right.
It never governs any of your roles. So normally the way rolling in this works, you take your stat... You take your skill, you take it all, and then you have the facts of life. You roll a d10, you add stat and skill together, and see if you beat the difficulty.
Right. So, and this is a game where, with a given skill, you are only ever applying one of your stats. So, if I have the skill of, you know, combat piloting, mech piloting, I'm only ever going to roll that with, is it reflex?
Reflex,
right. So it's not a game where you can sort of mix and match stats and skills to get kind of different spins on things. It's always matched up the same like D&D.
I mean, the person running it could say like, oh, instead of doing attractiveness plus personal grooming, I'll have you do cool plus personal grooming because I want to make sure that you
don't have armpit sweat right now.
Oh, yeah. You're on the runway and you want to give them that good... hard look.
Give them the blue steel. Right, so you can always, you know, house rule things like that, but what they're assuming will happen is that it's just one type of stat used with each skill. They match up, and there is nothing that calls for education.
No. In fact, it even says that normally you would roll intelligence plus education as a general trivia skill. So if it's something that wouldn't normally be under a skill... It would just be like, oh, do you know the name of whatever this captain is who's coming in? And you could be like, all right, I'll roll intelligence plus education and see if I know who this person is.
What's the capital of North Dakota?
Oh, shit, I don't know. Is it Raleigh?
No.
No, that's North Carolina?
Yes.
No.
Education.
Woo! Baby, I got an education of 2. But... The other thing education does is it adds to the skill points you get to spend. Skill points, when you go to spend them, are 10 plus your intelligence plus your education.
Right.
Which means...
You have a minimum of 12, right? Because you have to have at least a 2 in intelligence, but you don't have to have anything in education.
You do. It is a stat. Okay, so you do have to have at least a 2 in
that,
it. No, wait, no, you
don't.
It
says you can have a 1 for grade school education, and to me that implies that you can have a 0, meaning you've never been to school a day in your life.
A level of 1 is equal to grade school and that you are literate.
Yes, so you could be illiterate.
You could be
zero
illiterate.
Points.
You could be an illiterate son of a bitch.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say this. You probably should be, because if, let's say you're going to spend 6 points per, you want to be average in everything. 6 in intelligence and a 6 in education gets you 12 more points. However, a 10 in intelligence and a 2 in education gets you the exact same amount of points, but now you have a 10 whenever you're rolling for any intelligent-based skill.
Right. The only real benefit to education being a substat is that you could theoretically max both to 10 if you wanted to just be the big egghead.
Oh, yeah. But if you were doing, say, 6 and 6... Your general trivia knowledge also stays the same because
right.
you're still just 10 and 2. So no matter what, if you're going to allocate points, maximize whatever you're doing in intelligence, and then if you have points left over, put it in education.
Or don't be a min-maxing bitch and assign your points based on your character concept.
Or this is a bad design. Because there's literally no incentive to do it. Pretty much the system incentivizes everyone to be a 10 intelligence and just not care about education at all.
Correct.
Yeah. Just angry about it. I'm just angry the way the math works out. I'm also going to rant about the math and how difficulty works. I hate math problems, is what I'm saying.
We'll get to more math in a minute. Brought to you by English majors.
I have to say, this fucking podcast has made me, and, you know, RPGs in general, have made me much better at math than anything in school.
Oh, yeah. I went down the rabbit hole with Exalted and trying to understand the probability curves for various die pools in Exalted, and that it has this extra layer of complexity because a 10 is 2 successes, and I'm, like, Googling binomial distributions and stuff and trying to learn how to do this. So eventually I went on to take statistics and learned even more about that. But yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Math.
It's what's for dinner. The difficulty chart for things is generally a 10 is easy. A 15 is your standard baseline. Most of the things you are doing that is an average difficulty is 15. And then a 20 would be difficult, and then it goes on 25 and 30.
Which is very, you know, D&D-esque, just to refer again to sort of the classic touchstone. I always think about the DC 10 being bears live in caves. So really, you
bears
should be
live
able
in
to,
the woods.
You should be able to get that DC 10.
Does a bear shit in the woods? I don't even know. The problem with that, again,
yes,
that I will get into now, is the numbers only work out to be like that if you assume the person has pretty much maxed the starting level of points into a skill.
Right.
Most of their difficulty levels are sort of assuming a 6 in a stat and at least a 4 in skill.
Right. If you had a 6 in the stat and a 4 in the skill, then you would always be able to do DC 10 things, regardless of
what
you rolled.
And an average roll would be pretty much 50-50.
Mm-hmm.
So once you get up into something that is difficult, though, my favorite thing is they have an example that is one of the players is having problems with their mech, and they want to try and fix it while they're out in the wilderness. So they have a technical ability of 8.
Which is super above average. Very good. 8 out of 10.
A jury rig of 5.
Which is better than adequate, which is sort
of
considered like
pretty much
professional
skill. I put as
much
points into that to start with as I probably should.
Right.
And rolls a d10 and gets a 6, which is above average.
Yeah.
His result number is 19 and he fails because it was a difficult roll. And I'm just looking at that going like, fuck me. Your example thing is a guy invested very heavily in a skill and rolled well. He failed. And I'm like,
Welcome to Rifts.
Motherfucker.
This very much reminded me of Rift skills, the way that you are just bad at everything and will fail at least half the time at tasks that you would really like to succeed at.
Oh, yeah. A starting Rifts character is like, I succeed 32% of the time.
I have a las gun. I don't know.
Hello? I'd like to prowl. No. Okay.
Can I take 20?
Nope. You can give me $20.
On Patreon, and then see John's titties.
Damn titties. Yeah. The skills, though, because you get so few points, like the fact that that person had a 5 in jury rig means that even if they invested fairly heavily as well in the intelligence education thing, they could have like 4-5 stats at a 5 or skills at a 5, and then zeros in everything else.
Yeah, so you can either sprinkle 1 or 2 points all over the place, or you really specialize in a few, but you can't be good at very many things.
No, you can't really be great at much. Like, you can get, like I said, a 5 and probably about 4 things if you really want to specialize and go, no, but I really want to do that. The sad part is they have enough skills that that's really difficult to do.
Mm-hmm.
And they split mecha skills off from regular ones. So if I have hand to hand and I put 2 points in there because I want to be able to, you know, scrap a little bit, then mecha hand to hand is a different skill. But mecha has like mecha fighting and mecha gunnery and mecha melee
and mecha highly heiny ho.
Yes, and mecha lecha high, mecha heiny ho.
Thank you.
There you go. And it ends up being, if I wanted to be a hotshot mech pilot, and I'm like, okay, well, I have to put 5 points into mech piloting because
that's just moving it around.
Yeah, that's just being able to make your mech move. And let's say I want to be able to shoot guns because that's cool. Great, that's mecha gunnery. Now, we're doing a Robotech type thing, so obviously I have too many missiles. Well, mecha missiles is its own skill.
Okay, and mecha melee is its own skill.
Which is different from mecha fighting, so if you wanted to use a big sword, that's different from punching something.
Yeah, there are 5 skills that you would really want to be your fully featured mech combat ace, or at least competent. So even if you just put a 2 in each of those, that's 10 skill points eaten up right there, and you have very few left to distribute to anything else.
It basically means that the character you make is either going to be like, hey, I min-maxed to be a mech pilot, and I decided I don't punch, I don't swing a weapon, all I do is shoot, so I could at least make like pilot and gunnery and maybe missiles be at 5, and then I sprinkled a few points elsewhere.
For flavor.
And at that point, you're like, great, so I'm a mech pilot, and I'm completely terrible at everything else in life.
And to me, this is a design flaw, because what it's telling you in the fluff of the book is that it wants you to be able to move among these sort of different settings, that it wants you to have stories that are at the person-to-person level, where you're just walking around and interacting with other people, and it's about your family and your girlfriend, but it also has all of this mech drama, spaceships, you know, missiles. So in order to have sort of street level skills, shall we say, but also mech level skills, you kind of can't do both well. So you can either be bad at everything or good at one thing and then completely useless in the other game setting milieu.
Yeah. And it's especially bad when you look at, if you want to be anything that isn't just specifically a mech pilot and yet still participate.
Right.
So if I was like, oh, I want to make a cool, like, tech head mech engineer guy, and you know, he also has a mech, and I'm gonna buy it like a little tiny arm so we can do like on the fly repairs on other mechs. So I'm like, oh, I'm like a cool support guy. Except if you've put enough points into being an engineer that it's useful, you're basically just garbage and shouldn't be in a mech to begin with, because all the points you're gonna put into being a mech pilot are like, I've got a 2 at piloting.
I know how to find the go button.
Whee! I want to turn around. I don't know how. Yeah, it's very sad because it makes you choose between the two modes of this game.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like... I feel like there should have been a, these are points you can give to mech-based things.
Yes.
And then whatever else.
If this is a mech game and you also want people to be good at non-mech things, then you have to have two separate point pools.
Yeah.
Because min-maxing bastards like John will choose one or the other.
Yeah, it's true. It's very true. And I mean, I'm going to say in the bonus content when I make my character, I really did put points into other stuff.
Right.
But I chose the one thing you can do that lets you do that, which is the game makes you pick a progression path.
Right. So yeah, let's talk a little bit about sort of the character templates, which is the next thing after you pick your skills, where you can either be the professional or the rookie.
Yeah. So either you are the character that's like, I am the established, like, I'm the sensei, I am the commanding officer.
The grizzled veteran.
Yeah, I'm the guy who has been around and is already badass. So, you know, I'm the established hero. Or you can be the rookie and you are the young up-and-coming protagonist of whatever this anime is. The professional lets you... It lets you choose how many you want to do, but fucking again, there's no reason not to maximize this.
All right.
You start baseline 16 years old once you do all of your background roles. For every 2 years up to the maximum of age 30, you can pick a skill package as a professional. And it's just a profession that you were doing during that time period.
So that's seven of these packages. Right.
So you can do up to seven, and there is no reason not to be 30.
Right, because the quote-unquote penalty or the supposed trade-off of picking the professional over the rookie is that, I guess it was saying later on, when you earn experience more slowly because you're already experienced. But
so,
I don't think it was like if you had 2 years of professions versus 10 years of profession. It's the same speed, right?
Yes. The game says that rookie characters earn double XP. Just flat out. So if you are a professional and you don't take all seven packages, you are just screwing yourself over for no reason.
Right.
I mean, there is the possibility of maybe messing yourself up because in addition to picking one of the things, so you might be like, oh, I picked, computer geek or politician or scientist or whatever. You can also pick things that are dangerous occupations. So things like soldier or gang member or mecha jock or what have you. And for every package that you get, you have to roll on another life path, which if it's a dangerous profession, it has a different chance of shit going wrong than if it's a not so dangerous profession.
Right. So if you spent 2 years as a fashion model and 2 years as a fashion journalist, you're going to roll for things like, did you get a girlfriend while you were doing this? And did you, have some exciting things happen to you? But if you do gang member, it's going to be like, did you lose an eye?
Yeah. And I mean, there are, you can have like an accident or something that's bad happen in the not dangerous professions.
Right.
It's just, like, dangerous profession, you have an accident, is an 8 through 10, whereas not so dangerous is just 10.
I mean, tragic accident at the copier happens.
Yeah,
You lose legs in Xerox machines all the time.
Sometimes you can't get it.
You're kicking it because it's not working and it just grabs on.
So, each profession gives you 5 skill points, but it's 1 in each of 5 different things. It tells you 7 different skills. You pick 5 to get a +1 in, and that's it. So overall, you'll get basically 35 extra skill points.
Which is awesome.
It is amazing, considering that is way more than double what you would normally get.
Right. As the rookie, you get like
7
points.
Yeah. The rookie, you just pick a archetype.
Right, you can be, the big lug or the girlfriend or, I'm sorry, it says boyfriend, girlfriend. It's trying to be gender neutral, but dispensed with very quickly, and we go right back to the assumption that it's a male protagonist with a cute girlfriend waiting for him.
I will say this, Jeff isn't here, but I did check for the seduction rule. It is gender neutral. It's just you are seductive, and that is all. Okay. It doesn't say opposite sex. It doesn't have anything like that.
Gay anime, let's do it.
Oh, hell yes. I mean, obviously, it's time for Big Yaoi Mech Man. coming this fall, Big Yaoi Mech Man.
That would make not a lot of money.
That would make several dollars.
Yeah,
there is
eight or nine.
There's a very niche market that would pay for that.
Let's get the Kickstarter going.
Let's do it. Guys, I'm here to talk to you about Big Yaoi Mech Man. So if you pick the rookie, then yeah, you only get 7 more points, and it tells you where those points go to based on what you pick. So if you pick anime hero, then you just get the points that they give it to you. You can't be like, oh, I want points in whatever. They're like, no, this is what you get. This is the package.
So you don't really have choices at that point.
You do get more money and equipment as a rookie. As a professional, you end up getting, I think it's about 14 D10 credits.
Right.
So I, like, my bonus character rolled and they got like 92.
Woohoo! But mine got 400.
Yeah. As any of the ones that are like, oh, I'm the girlfriend or boyfriend, I'm not actually like super powerful, they're like, great, here's $400. Also, you get a whole bunch of possessions and stuff like that.
Yeah, so, I particularly loved that one of the things, and again, pretending to be gender neutral, but clearly obviously female tropes, the boyfriend slash girlfriend character, one of their possessions is a very sexy outfit that they are too shy to wear.
Oh, hell yeah.
I don't think that's talking about a banana hammock, John.
Well, in Big Yaoi Mech Man, boy howdy is it.
Yeah.
They're very shy. It's just a big, shy man, very hairy.
Hairy titties.
Doesn't want to put his titties up on Patreon.
Hairy titties, starring in Big Yaoi Mech Man.
I'm Harold Titties. It's pronounced Titay. But yeah, you get double the XP, though I was, again, doing some quick napkin math.
Mm.
And
the most dangerous kind of math.
Yeah. The XP progression is, it costs more per point the higher the skill is.
Right.
So given that, a professional could much more easily have a higher than 5 and a larger range of skills.
Correct. Which is appropriate.
But what it means is the amount of XP it would take before you at least leveled off and were the same as them would be, you'd pretty much have to be playing at least once a week, every week, for a year before you ended up being about the same as the professional, as the rookie.
So one should assume in a game that combines with rookies with professionals, this is a power mismatch party.
Yeah. And that, I mean, it is an anime thing to be like, oh, I'm the established person, I'm better than you. But the story will generally more often focus on the, like, the newcomers and their struggles.
Right.
So you could look at it as, you know, if you pick the professional, then you're also saying, I'm not the protagonist of the story. But that's an outside game mechanics.
Yeah, and they give examples of, here are some people we would consider professionals and people we consider rookies. And the rookie is Luke Skywalker, and the professional is Han Solo. So Luke Skywalker is the protagonist. Han Solo is sort of the first buddy.
Yeah, he's there, and he's a badass. He's already established as being a badass. He's got a cool gun and ship and friend, and he's got a whole background to him. And Luke Skywalker's like, I'm a whiny bitch. And then eventually he becomes a rad Jedi.
Right. Luke Skywalker's bad at everything at the beginning.
Yeah.
But has an interesting story going on.
And so that's pretty much what they're looking at. Now, in addition to making your character, it also has making a mech.
Oh, Jesus.
If making a character is one of those things where you're like, oh, I can sit down and I get it. It's just some point buy and you put your points into whatever you want to do and it's very simple. Once you're done doing that on like a piece of scrap paper, it is time to get out the calculator and the Excel spreadsheet that is making a mech.
Yeah. I attempted to do it on paper and went through many pages, which are completely incomprehensible to me. By the time I had reached the bottom of the page, I had no idea what the notes at the top of the page meant anymore.
I mean, it is very much like when we reviewed Car Wars.
Yes.
Is like, oh, you can make a guy, but that doesn't matter. Here's where the real crunch of the game is. And you're like, oh, fucking hell. I have to know for each section of my mech's body.
Torso, arms, head, leg, and leg, right leg, left arm, right arm.
Oh, yeah. Like, if I really wanted to, I could go straight up like, my left arm is a super light, and my right arm is a mega heavy, and it just looks really weird.
Big beefy arm.
Big beefy arm on there. If I wanted to give him a tail, I could do that. I could make
him a
dragon.
Yeah.
Or dragon man. Maybe he was just a dragon. But each one has its own cost based on how heavy of a system it is.
Right, well, there's sort of two kinds of cost, right? There's a cost that is not really given in terms of money, but is sort of like the amount of resources that are devoted to creating the mech. But then there's another thing that you have to keep in mind, which is weight.
Well, yeah, there's more than that, because there's also space.
Yes, there's spaces, too. Yeah, no, there are video games like this now. What is that game that y'all have played, Star Drive? Is that what that's called? Where you're building spaceships.
Uh-huh.
Very similar to this in terms of you know, having you have to choose
but
your
overall
shape.
But in that one, a computer does the math for you.
Well, yes, exactly. That's what I'm saying, that this is ahead of its time. You don't want to be doing this on paper. You want to be doing this on a computer.
Like, if this RPG came with a program that you put on your computer and it was like, make a mech and I'll do all the calculations for you, I would go, great, that sounds awesome.
And
thanks, game.
Print out the character sheet when you're done and you're good to go.
But in this, it's like, all right, you have a certain amount of character points to spend on making your mech. So anywhere between, like, you know, 50 and 600, if you want to have one that's like, 600 would be like, I am a robot that fights the entire Imperial Armada by myself. Like, that's basically Voltron. Voltron goes out and is a 600-point mech.
And this, I feel like, as a DM, this is where you would really want to, even if you allowed your characters to be like some rookies, some professionals, I feel like you would want the resource level of the mechs to be similar. Like, hey guys, your mechs can be within 100 or 150 points.
Oh yeah. I mean, it gives you a range of like, oh, if you're going to spend below 100 points, then it's probably the like grunt level mecha where
infantry
these are
mech.
Yeah, these are mass produced mechs.
Which is a hilarious concept in and of itself.
Well, yeah. But I mean, that's
it's a Samus based economy.
I have 3.2 million mechs. But you know, it goes up from there, so you can be like, oh, if you go above 100, then it's like the officer quality mech, and these are special, like, quality, high demand designer mechs.
Ooh.
And then going up
from
there,
leather seats.
Oh, shit, yeah. That rich Corinthian leather. And then going up from there is pretty much like, we found an ancient alien tech, and we are using it, and we could not manufacture this.
Right, or all of the nation's resources went into creating this one mech.
Yeah, that is your point spread. But you have to pick between like 12 different types of weight for things. So like, oh, my torso could be, you know, light or super light or a striker or a medium striker.
Or heavy.
I could be armored heavy or mega heavy. And there's just a shitload of things, all with different costs, all have a different number of spaces in them, all have a different number of hit points, which this game has its own version of mega damage.
Yes.
It has,
which I like.
Yeah, it's for mechs, you have what are known as kills. In standard combat, you have just hits. So like, oh, I I connect and I do 4 hits worth of damage.
To your head, because it's like all called shots.
Oh, yeah. Well, everything is, you know, where did you hit randomly on a table. In mechs, you do kills, and kills are 25 hits per kill.
Right, so pretty much any weapon on a mech is appropriately going to vaporize a person.
Oh yeah, a dude
and
will just die.
Any attack that a person has with a person-level weapon is not going to hurt a mech.
Yeah, if you are a dude, maybe if you have like, I've got a rocket launcher, then maybe you can do like a kill.
Ping!
You're like, hey, I felt that. So you have to worry about... Your sort of skeleton is what you do first, and you pay like per arm and per leg, and if you want wings or a tail or whatever you want.
The word servo appears in this book 8 million times.
Yes, because all of your base level things are servos, and then what gets attached to them will go off of how many points of space you have.
Right, so maybe my striker class arm has 5 spaces, and so I could put... A beam sword, which takes up 3 spaces, and then maybe I could have like a light laser rifle, which takes up 2 spaces, and now I've filled up the 5 spaces in my arm, and that arm has the 2 weapons.
Yeah.
Then my other arm...
It is a lot of keeping track of spaces on every single, like, torso, head, arm, whatever, but then you also have the options for things like... Put multiple things on one arm and then get a system that links them so you can shoot both at the same time. And there it is, fucking abominable. I'm going to say that right now. This is a system that should have its own program.
Right. This is a really interesting system that has a potential to be rich and complicated and have lots of ways to do interesting things with it and lots of ways to create specialists who are better at some things than other things and the strategy, like, do I want the same weapon on both my arms or different on the left or the right, because what if someone knocks one of my arms off? But I don't want to do this with a pencil and paper.
Yeah, and also there's a point where it talks about the cost for thrusters. So...
Mm-hmm.
The thruster cost is you choose what you want your movement allowance to be. So it's like, how fast do you want this thing to be able to fly? You have to take your total tonnage in weight and multiply it by whatever speed you want to go. And this goes out to 4 decimal places.
Yeah, as soon as you, like, I prefer integers in my games, let's be real. If we go to 1 decimal place, like, there's another point where it says that your stability score is your cool times 2.5 rounded down. I thought that was dumb. What an innocent, sweet summer child I was on page 17, because by the time we got to page 100 and we were multiplying by 0.375.
Oh, yeah.
You get... And then also multiplying by 0.35 again, and then also multiplying by 0.1 again.
Oh, my God. You get to, like, oh, I want to move allowance of 13. What do I do then? Oh, you're multiplying it by 0.4875.
Right. And then also, if you want the ability to transform into a car, then you have to multiply by 0.35 again on top of that.
Oh, yeah. But if you want a power plant...
If you want a hot power plant, you can deduct multiplying it by 0.1.
Oh, my fucking God. It's too much shit. I know that there are going to be people, the same type of people that love Car Wars, the same type of people that love to just get into... weird, ridiculous crunch that are like, oh, I want to sit down with a piece of paper and a calculator and I want to make
mechs. Slide rule. Jesus.
Oh, yeah. It's just so much. And you have like then stats that are based on it. So your mecha has its own reflex. And based on your tonnage, you have a penalty to your maneuver value. And
I really, really fucking... hope that someone on the internet, like on RPGNet or something, has created a awesome Excel spreadsheet where you just kind of fill things in. Like that exists for so many games where it'll figure out all the modifiers for you and everything.
Oh, yeah.
Someone surely has to have created this.
Because
this is the kind
it.
Of game that would attract that person. So listeners, if you find it on the internet, John will show you his titties. Link to it in the comments.
There's so much crap in this. And I mean, we've gone for a bit now, but there's a ton of nonsense.
Well, then there's the whole
here.
Starship thing. We didn't even frigging get into that there's actually three levels of combat. There's and interactions. There's sort of person-to-person interactions and person-to-person combat. There's mech-to-mech combat. And then they give you rules for building friggin' dreadnoughts in space.
Yeah, you can build your own starships, and then you have starship combat. And boy, howdy, I just could not care less.
No, eyes glazed right over, like the... Yeah, no, I had to put the baby to sleep. Did not read those pages in any way, shape, or form. This game is trying to do too much, and it's a shame, because I feel like what this book really does well, first of all, is introducing people who aren't super familiar with anime to the tropes of anime and helping them get into the mindset to create anime characters and anime plots. Excellent at that.
Yeah, it does a good job of explaining what the assumptions of the setting are.
Right. So, you know, what is a Japanese hero and how is that different from a Western type hero? Well, a Western type hero is probably a badass at everything, but anime heroes often start out sort of neurotic and weak and flawed, and then we watch them develop into someone who's a badass.
Yeah.
And the villains are always, there's supposed to be a lot of pathos and sympathizing with the villain and just explaining all of these themes that you find in anime. And then the mech creation is really rich and robust and interesting if you're
that's
that
a way to put it.
Kind of person. And then the space stuff to me was completely superfluous. Did not add to the game at all. Was not what I was looking for here. I would love to see maybe a different game that was about space fighters and dreadnoughts and anti-grav rules and stuff like that, but it just didn't go with the other two sections to me.
Well, it's so focused on one type of thing, but then also the anime it wants to be is like, oh yeah, the SDF one or the U.S. something SS
UHF.
Yamato. Most of the animes are like, oh, we've got a capital ship that's very important to this.
Right.
So the idea of that, like, big capital, this is where you keep your mechs and...
But do you need to stat it out?
Yeah, it's one of those things where I'm like, I understand that you wanted to have that be an integral part of your setting because of the anime that you're basing this on, but I also need to let you know that don't do that. You've tried to shove too many things into your game, and now you can't do it all.
You have dug too greedily and too deep, and your readers are falling asleep.
The Balrog has come out, and it wants me to know all about its half-elf bard. it does have, towards the back of the book, it has a setting information for if you want to use their setting.
Yeah, there's two settings. One is just sort of a standard, like, oh, it's another planet with a tech level that's slightly higher than Earth, and, you know, there's different factions on the planet, and they're kind of jockeying for power. And then the second one was kind of the same, but more like outer space-ish. Like,
well, yeah,
ships.
The other one was, there was a big invasion that happened, and the aliens that existed had been at peace for so long they didn't know or didn't have the resources ready to fight them, and so they went, hey humans, you're all fucking all about combat, you want to come join us in space? And the humans were like, yes, obviously we want to murder aliens.
Duh, I mean, we're so sick of murdering each other.
So that one has like, oh, and then a
just
grand...
kidding, we never get sick of murdering each other.
That's true. Well, yeah, because that one has like, oh, they established the first human empire, and then there's infighting, and they blow themselves up, and then 1,000 years later, someone is making the second empire of man.
Oh, it's the same idea. It's the same idea.
So, you know, you've got a couple different ways you can go with it. It's got some optional rules for... did you want to create an alien race? Did you want to make psionic people?
Well, now, it's very careful to specify that your aliens have to be fuckable. There is a whole paragraph about how you won't see aliens in animes that are like weird slugs or bugs or anything.
Oh, no, it's always just like blue humans.
There always has to be some capacity for the protagonist to fall in love with an alien, and by fall in love, I mean bang. Now, to me, to say, no, the first thing I thought when it said... Well, you know, you don't. It's not like you want some slug-like alien. Your protagonist wouldn't have sex with that. I'm like, I mean, what if?
Obviously, you've not been on the internet. So yeah, there's a lot of nonsense in this. I mean, the GM advice is good.
I liked it a lot. It was fairly succinct. It was, I don't know, maybe 10 or 20 pages of kind of generalized advice about, you know, if you've never run a game before, how do you create an episodic narrative? How do you have a plot that still gives your players some freedom, but you're nudging them towards the plot points that you want them to hit? Because you don't want to railroad them, but you also just can't let them do whatever they want. That's crazy talk. It is just good, generally applicable. Like, I would recommend that you read this chapter regardless of what game you were trying to run.
Yeah. I mean, it's good. You can tell that, I mean, like we mentioned before, the writer's very good at knowing the genre they want to do, explaining that, explaining how to play in that.
And even gradations within the genre. It talks about the serious tone, the light tone, the medium tone that you'll find in different animes. Gives examples, which obviously John and I have no idea what the fuck they're talking about. But that's important to understand. A lot of books don't talk about tone of your game. Mm-hmm. It kind of assumes that they're writing in a certain tone, and so you and your players are going to settle on that. And I think a lot of particularly newer game masters aren't prepared for a tone mismatch, where you want to run a serious game and your players are making fart jokes. How do you handle that? Or half your players are making fart jokes and the other half are like, so grimdark. Like, do you even recognize what's going on, or are you just frustrated?
Or it's like the GM is trying to run a goofy, fun punch-em-up, and all of your players are like, I have a tortured past. I need to talk to you about my man pain.
Person pain. This game is gender neutral.
My personage pain. I think we've about wrapped her up. Do you you want to get into the best and the worst of this game for you?
Sure. Best thing, I think, is the DM advice, I think, was probably the standout for me, that I felt it was great, even totally detached from the game.
Yeah, all right.
What about you?
My favorite thing is almost assuredly going to be the random tables for making your character.
Oh, yeah. Love it.
Both the background ones and the ones for professional give you... like, oh, while I was doing whatever job, this happened. And so it gives you like, oh, this is a new NPC that can show up. This is a new way that my character can interact. So it's not just, oh, I got 5 skill points. It's I have something that occurred while doing this.
Right. Again, more plot hooks.
Yeah, it's a wealth of plot hooks. It is an embarrassment of riches.
A bushel of plot hooks. Would you say... it's a plethora of plot hooks.
Yes, El Guapo. You have a plethora.
Do you know what a plethora is?
No, El Guapo.
So, worst thing in the book for you?
Oh, God. Definitely the whole spaceship building section. I had expended so many of my willpower points reading the mecha creation section. I did not have anything left to read the spaceship creation section and just sort of skimmed through it because, again, I feel that thematically it just doesn't go with the other. And I realize that there are animes that combine all those elements, but this game's trying to do too much.
Yeah, and especially given that you don't have enough points to be even particularly competent in, like, an area, having 3 areas to worry
right.
about.
And that just increases the possibility that you have characters in your party who can't be in the same scene together. This is a problem with games that end up incentivizing specialization like this, that, you know, if your plot is supposed to be taking you to the mech ball to try to do some intrigue there, but then later on you're going to be in a mech fight, and then later on maybe you're going to be in a space fight. Maybe you have one character who's good at social, and the other two sit there with a thumb up their ass. You have one character who's good at the mech, and then the other two sit there with a thumb up their ass. And then you have the space pilot. So you end up with that... to me, unfortunate and unpleasant situation where a lot of your players are sitting around not doing anything. And when combat takes as long as it does in this game, we did not even touch on that. It's very war gamey. There's like 17 steps to combat, to figuring out how to resolve an attack. Your combat's going to take a long time. So if some of your characters are not able to participate in combat, whether it's mech combat, hand-to-hand combat, space combat, they have nothing to do and there will be a half an hour or an hour of them just being bored or looking on their phone, disengaged from the game, and I consider that a design flaw.
Yeah, as do I. And I would say my least favorite thing really is, I mean, like you touched on, I feel like the granularity in here is sort of okay, but I feel like the math got fucked up. I mean, I ranted a lot on the points for stats and skills and things like that. I feel like any game that has this split is just begging for either min-maxing or players being butthurt about something because...
Well, that's always going to happen.
Well, I mean, when you look at something like the difference between the professional and the rookie,
right,
on paper, you're like, oh, this is a really interesting concept of, you know, the established character versus the up-and-coming hero.
The fast XP, the slow XP. But for 6 months to a year, your rookie sucks at life and your professional is way better at everything.
And the problem with that is if you're talking about doing a one-shot or anything like that, you're definitely only going to want to be the professional. But if you did plan on doing a campaign on this, once you've gone past that point where the rookie ends up exceeding the professional, at that point, the professional is just going to start sitting there going, man, I'm not doing anything anymore.
See, I would house rule that the XP would equalize at that point, personally. That once the rookie had caught up, then the XP gain would be the same if it was going to be a long game.
Meh. I could see that.
But that's not written. That's not rules as written.
No, that is not rules as written. In the same way that the rules really want you to roll 10d10, which is garbage.
As we shall find out in the bonus content, give us money.
I mean, I know that one of the things that we get accused of or assumed a lot about Jeff and I is that we prefer rules light systems because we rag on games like this that are super crunchy and complex.
Right, and crunchy is fun, but it's just more opportunities to fuck something up.
Well,
And hence get ragged on by Jeff and John.
My deal for the crunch that I prefer, because I'm not going to say that the mech creation in this or car creation in Car Wars or anything like that is bad, but it's not the crunch that I want. I love a crunchy game, but I want the crunch to come where it's not at the expense of other things. Like, it gives me an interesting choice rather than a math problem.
Yes.
Like, you look at something like D&D 4E or Exalted or any of the crunchier games that I've played and enjoyed, and it's, you have an interesting choice at any given point of, what do I want? What am I giving up to have that? But can I still do certain things? You can, kind of dip into certain roles or have certain aspects of your character that you will focus on more than others, but still be able to do things.
Right.
It's a lot of crunch and a lot of rules, but it's interesting choices rather than at the very beginning of the game, I did math better than you, so I am better than
you. Get a goddamn spreadsheet.
Yeah. I think that's my deal with crunch, is I want crunch that is interesting rather than just a calculator.
Yep.
So, there you go. Would you play Mechton Zeta?
I would if there were some restrictions on the beginning to kind of avoid the problems I talked about. Like, this is another thing I like about the DM section, that it talks explicitly about the challenge of how do you form your party in the beginning? What's your sort of setup for the story? So are you going to tell a story where they're all new recruits at the mech training facility? Great. That's a great way to set up the game because everybody's going to have sort of a similar age, similar background. I mean, you know, different backgrounds, but they're all in the same place for the same reason. They all have similar goals. They're going to be at a similar power level, and they're going to be engaging in similar types of combat activities so they can all be together. So if it was a game like that where it was, you know, we're all in the revolution and we're all mech pilots, that would work fine for me. That would work great. And then you and I also talked about a potential house rule of creating the Voltron, where you had a team on the mech instead of just one dude.
That is
be
what
fun.
I really wanted to have a a rule for that in this. I mean, you can have extra room in your cockpit for people.
But they just sit on your lap. That's the hysterical part. It explicitly says that if an extra person is in your mech, they have to sit on your lap.
Well, no. There, you can buy with space in your head, you can buy extra passenger room, but it doesn't do anything. They don't have controls. They just hang out.
Right.
What I wanted was something that allowed other characters to do stuff. Like, if I make an engineer type, I can be in the mech, and so, like, the leg takes a hit and starts malfunctioning, the engineer has something to do mid-combat to, like, run into the leg and start repairing the gears and servos and whatnot while you're trying to maneuver the mech. That gives you something to do. And the book does mention, apparently, there is a Mechton Zeta Plus where they do have combining mechs, so you can Voltron in, if you buy the deluxe edition.
Day one DLC.
Fuck you, game. and I would, I'd probably play this again
if I had the spreadsheet to build the mech, or if my DM built the mech for me.
I feel like the DM handing out mechs is probably a better idea. Because if you say, like, hey, you've got 100 points to spend on a mech, and one person's like, I did dumb things, and the other person's like, I am a wizard at math, and I made the best possible thing I could with 100 points, then you want to have, especially if you're doing, like, the this is the grunt level manufactured mechs.
Yes, and if you're doing that sort of plot where it's like you're all ensigns in the mech strike force. You're all learning. You all have the exact same level of mechs, maybe slightly different. Like, this is a support class. This is a heavy, but they're all kind of uniform in design. That would be perfect pre-gen mech situation.
I feel with enough of a, like, work on it, like, if your GM was really into, like, okay, I've got pre-generated mechs for people to be in. I've decided on rules, like, everyone's going to be professionals or everyone's going to be rookies, so you don't have to worry about that weird split. Then I would play it. It's got a, I mean, the add two numbers and roll a D10 is a simple enough system.
Sure.
So yeah, both conditional wood plays.
Yeah, but then combat gets ridiculous, particularly the mech combat, because it's like, oh, well, there's your ablative armor, and then there's your other armor, and then there's evade. Blah, 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 too many things. Tell me if I fucking hit or not. Let's move on.
All right. So thank you so much for listening. We will be doing more of this in the bonus content. We're going to dive deeper into the actual characters that we made.
And we both made characters in different ways, so we'll see what worked and what didn't.
Yeah, we did a few different things in character creation. We also made mechs. So by God, we really hurt ourselves for your enjoyment.
I'm going, John, do I have to keep statting this out?
Yes. So we've got that. If you want to listen to that, just go to patreon.com/systemmastery. Support us at $1 or more, and you get access to that bonus content. And of course, if you listen to our other shows, Expounded Universe, if you're at the $2 or more level, you unlock the bonus content for that. You can find all of our shows, everything we do, SystemMasteryPodcast.com, and we are System Mastery on Twitter, Facebook, at Gmail, r/SystemMastery on Reddit. Anywhere you want to find us, get a hold of us, let us know how stupid about anime we were.
Do you guys get on that Insta yet? I think you need to.
No, we aren't hot chicks that are popping booties. We do not need to be on the Instagram.
You could pop the booties.
The booty. We could show dem titties. So yeah, we will, of course, be back in a couple weeks with more System Mastery.
And with Jeff!
And with Jeff back after his babies, his many babies, 400 babies that he has had. And until then, you have a good one.